Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Monday, everybody. We made it for another week. I'm sure I'm gonna have everybody in on Monday, but however, we have to thank the Almighty for giving us the opportunity to make it to a new week to complain about. And for those of you that don't know by now, we want to give out shout outs to Real World Black News and Discussion Group out there on Facebook. They're happily chiming in all the time, actively involved with our pre-broadcast type of questions. They're definitely always responsible for giving me the best insight and some community topics as well as some connections that we have brought to you here. So thanks to you guys that's out there. Now, the next people that we want to give these shout-outs to is Barry Mason. He is our show consultant. He's a wonderful person, a great DJ. And in addition to that, he is the CEO of Track One Entertainment, giving you the best of R&B events out of New York City. You can hear Barry spin his magic on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. on isoradio.com and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. So either way, you'll have a ball with Barry. I want to thank my team. I want to thank DJ Roberta Rodney Williams. I want to thank Lady Diamond Elaine Nieves, Monster Miles with our sports segment. I want to thank PS37 Cynthia Jenkins School of Queens for contributing heavily to our youth day. I want to thank Mr. Billy Williams for being a part of our team as our activist from Ohio. Carlton Jones for giving us his interview the other day and helping me on the behind-the-scenes connections as well. Marky Mark, you over there, the moderator of that great group I just spoke about, he has also been actively involved with bringing me the best of people to bring to you. So, without further ado, here's the next thing that we are going to be speaking about. Now, all of you that have been listening in, this show is an inception. In May of 2013, you have been graced with a magical, wonderful... what can we say? Magic of the DJ turntable with this amazing dude, and his name is Rodney Williams, a.k.a. DJ Domerica. Those of you who have been here with us, you have been graced with all sorts of magic on the turntable from this man via his 30-minute mix. Well, today's no exception, except for the fact that you've heard the magic in the music, now you're going to hear the man behind the magic in the music. And that's what's going to be about today. This man is amazing. He is amazing in talent. He has been on radio host show. He's currently now the owner of the podcast, the Genius Level event that you have seen posted all over Facebook. I have the wonderful privilege of having him as a team member and knowing him as a person. And the things that this man can do is amazing. The way that he is amazing. And I have the pleasure of bringing him to you because tonight, for about a half an hour, he's going to get up close and personal with his listeners and to our team and to those of you that care to join in. He is amazing. So, with the treat, for those of you that have been requesting and for those of you that have any type of love for his music as I do, tonight he has authorized me to play my favorite house mix of his, which you heard in the third show that we ever had right here. So here is DJ Rodney Williams, Mr. DJ Domerica, and after this mix is over, you're going to hear from the man himself. Okay? So, without further ado, here is Rodney Williams, a.k.a. DJ Domerica, doing his thing. I'll see you back here after the mix.
Oh.
listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Bonnet and friends. That was DJ Domewrecker, Rodney Williams, doing his thing and giving us the best of music on the turntables with vinyl and everything. This is absolutely fantastic. It's an honor for me. And I would like for you guys to now get to know the man behind the music, because this man has more than just the talent in music that you've heard. He is brilliant. He is smart. He's resourceful. He is a father, and he's doing his thing out there. Now, he has been doing this for some time. I'm going to bring him in so that he can give you his current projects, what he's about, what motivates him, everything for the time that he has before he has to go off to another engagement. So listen, everybody, as the next voice you will hear will be that of DJ Rodney Williams, DJ Domewrecker.
Well, hello there.
Hey, baby, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm blushing and stuff like that after hearing your intro.
Well, you know I'm your biggest groupie, so we're not going to be talking about that. Well, let me say something to you, Rodney.
Okay.
It's an honor to have you on my team. From the first day that I met you, we were on Facebook, and I was talking about how me and my daughter dodged a stupid drunk driver who nearly hit us right on the curb, and you reached out, and you were like, glad you're all safe. And then I started watching your page, and I said, wait a minute, he's a DJ. Hold it, let me hear this. So
right.
I started listening to your stuff, and I said, whoa, let me tell you what I am so amazed with.
Okay.
I've heard DJs nowadays. I don't go to clubs often, but when I do go or events, and I hear what people call DJing nowadays, it's CD jock. That's what I call them, the CD jockeys, because most of them lost the art and value of what DJing used to mean. It's like the new basketball players. Nobody has the honor for the value anymore of what it means to have the craft of DJing. And you, first of all, you dig for vinyl, which is something that is rare in itself. Secondly, you know what amazes me about you is you have the ability to make magic come to life with all genres of music.
Well, thank
I think
you.
That's what makes you unique to me, because you are not just a R&B hip hop. You're not just a rap music guy. You're not just let's throw in a little mix of slow jams. When you hit a mix, you hit it, and you hit it hard. And there's something I need to tell you so that you know exactly how I'm not just, you know, being biased because I love you that way. But I was at an event, okay?
Okay.
And there was a DJ playing, okay? And it was at the point where, you know, when people start drinking in the clubs, I call it the three steps of clubbing. First,
okay.
They go in, and they just walked in off the line. They hot off the street. They happy. They got their first drink. Every music is something they want to dance to. Then you get to where they start getting a few drinks in them, where they're just dancing with their drinks, getting a little mellow on the floor. But when you get to the point where they start that they want to sleep it off type, and the music
right.
that the DJ's playing still makes them bop their head and love what they hear, you know you're a hell of a DJ. So
right.
now, at this event, I was at that point when this DJ was playing his thing, doing his thing, and when these people, and you know old schoolers, they don't play. They got a party value going on.
Right.
So these guys were sitting in the lounge chairs that was there, and some was on the outside because it was an outside thing. And all I heard was, oh, my goodness, my God, this noise, that they're playing this noise because they were at the drunken stage, right? So they're like, boy, you know what? I go to the therapy wine bar out there, man. Where's that guy that what do they call him? The construction wrecker? And I turned around and I said, you heard about DJ Domewrecker? They're like, that one, man, he's good. He's good. There's not no noise in my ear. I said, boy, I'll be happy to tell him. I was gleaming. But that's what you are, honey.
The construction wrecker.
Well, you know, when old schoolers get drunk, they don't remember stuff. They could barely pronounce things.
Right.
And they were like, what is it, wrecker? The ball wrecker? I said, DJ Domewrecker. And they were like, that's it. That's the guy that plays at the therapy wine bar? And I'm like, yeah. They go, he is the bomb. And I was like, he certainly is. And so, you know, I have him for 30 minutes every 2 days, you know, so I'm good. But
right.
I just need to tell you that that's where you're at. And so now I want you to tell our listeners who have been bopping to your music since we got started in May all about you. What motivates you? What are you doing? What is it about the craft? And then go from there.
Well, that's a whole lot. well, what motivates me? I would say that what motivates me is just good music that just has a good soulful vibe. I like music that just has a certain type of fullness and soul and human quality, so to speak. Even on the electronic tip, you know, if there are tunes that just have that certain, maybe the best word for it is kind of an earthiness to it. You know, I mean, there are a lot of tracks that have been put out over the years that are as fluffy as fluff can get. And I mean, they, you know, these are tracks that become very popular songs. You know, my job has never been necessarily to play the most popular song there is, but it's about playing the best music there is. And that's whether it is from the guy who lives around the corner from me or the guy who lives clear in Australia or America, Samoa or the UK, it doesn't matter. You know, I've been playing for 23 years and I've played for just about every kind of audience you can possibly think of, probably with the sole exception of an overseas audience, you know, as far as from a live perspective is concerned. A lot of what motivates me are my children. And there are six of them, and they, you know, in one form or another, they continuously inspire me. I have adult children and small children and a grandson, which I'm very proud to say I have a grandson. And, you know, I mean, all seven of them, I guess. Yeah, seven of them are just amazing, amazing people and keep me young and keep me focused and sort of, you know, just help me to, you know, look for quality stuff to play for people around the world. I, you know, if that answer made any sense, it's kind of an open question. So, I mean, I guess we can delve more into what that's about.
It made perfect sense, and I'm going to tell you why. As I said earlier, DJs have lost the value of the craft of arts and music. See, a lot of what I hear nowadays is people looking for the money aspect of it, just to do their thing, throw a few tracks, everybody will dance and groove to a few classics that, you know, is a definite giveaway, nobody's going to go wrong with this. But I've watched you in action, I have heard your mix in action, and the things that come out of it, the joy people feel, the memories that you create, it comes from, I've watched you, Rod. I've watched you with your head in your headphones. I've watched you be upset with the fact that it didn't sound right to you. It wasn't your best foot forward. You threw something together that bothered you. That is what the arts and crafts of creativity is about. It's something that's in you. And you know there's only one other DJ that I actually have. I put in the same boat with you that I love, and that's Barry Mason, because he does the same. You guys are constantly looking to reinvent yourself, and it comes out in what you deliver.
Yeah, I mean, you know, reinvention is always key. What I will tell you is that I stopped, and it took me a long time to even realize this. I stopped the idea of being a for hire DJ, because see, when you become when you're for hire, it's one of those things where you're not allowing yourself to be, when you're for hire, you're allowing yourself to be molded by others, those people who hire you to do this, because they're basically saying, okay, well, you have, you know, you are a DJ, you have the equipment, obviously you must have the records, I need you to play this, 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 and this. I think probably from day one, even years before anybody was ever doing anything on a laptop or anything like that, I was very much about doing things by the beat of my own drum. You know, I grew up on everything from Frankie Crocker to Molly Mall and Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, and, you know, a lot of guys that I, you know, first came up with as far as the club life here in New York City, which would have been guys like Soulfinger Sam and Tony Humphries and guys like that. And, a lot of credit I give to DJs that I worked with in the 90s and into the 2000s, the old Basement Music Works crew, you know. And, the whole thing is that if your goal is to, you know, is to reach people and to inspire people and make people think and make people, you know, react and say, oh my God, you know, I haven't heard this in years, or, oh my God, I've never heard this before. Oh my God, who is that? Oh my God, is that, where is this from? You know, those are the kind of reactions that I want, that I've always wanted. And this is whether I'm playing live or if I'm playing online or posting up a podcast or what have you. I want that constant reaction. You have guys in the UK, you have a guy like Giles Peterson, who was a founder of the Acid Jazz record label in the UK and did a great deal of parties out there, the Dingwalls party and Talking Loud and saying Something party and things like that. It's like, you know, I became open, you know, because of guys like him and even got, you know, like I said, a lot of the people who I've already mentioned, I became very open to a variety of genres of music. I didn't want to just stick to the top 25 records that have come out this week that are on Billboard or on Hot 97 or Kiss FM, because there are Kiss FMs somewhere still around the country still called Kiss FM, even though we don't have that anymore here in New York. You know, I never ever wanted to be a human jukebox. And that, and with all due respect to a lot of the DJs that I've known and come up with over the years, you know, some of them are that, and they're content with that. Some of us, we wanted to do more creative things. We wanted to create our own scene, go to the beat of our own drum, you know, and just keep things fresh. Music is supposed to be forever. You know, it's not supposed to just get stuck in just like this one mode or this one sound or, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, although I'm for the most part, I'm an all vinyl DJ, I still buy some new records, but it's all about whether or not I like the material or not. Does the material go with what I'm already doing? You know, and I just keep things going that way.
Interesting points that you made, and I do want to retouch on that. You said music is supposed to be forever. Absolutely. It's not supposed to just be about what's the dime a dozen, and that's what you bring. It's like with you, your mixes, you never know what's going to pop off next. How many times have I been listening to one of your mixes, and I've Facebooked you about 10 times per second? What? Did you just bring this up? What? What? Oh, my God, you brought... That's what music is supposed to be. And what, something you said earlier, for hired DJs, absolutely not, because a DJ is supposed to be hired to be creative, to do what they do best.
Well, that was what it was. My thoughts on that is that's what it once was.
Right.
But because of the way the I'm not even going to say that it's the industry, so to speak, but it's the way that consumers look at what DJs are, and now that, I mean, quite frankly, you know, now anybody with a battery now can be a DJ now, literally.
That's absolutely true.
And, you know, I mean, that's, it, you know, it's kind of because that's happened and now everybody has access to all different kinds of technology, be it in, you know, whether it's a Serato program or they have the little DJ program that you can just throw on your iPhone now.
Yes.
You know, it now everybody wants to be a DJ, but you know, people can be DJs, but not everybody can approach it from an artistic standpoint. That's the bottom line. When we were, you know, during the era that I grew up in, I mean, I'm 42. I grew up in, well, yeah, but you know, it's like the era that I came up in, we all came up where DJs were just DJs. We didn't say that we were, you know, that it was necessarily being a DJ for hire or we were a DJ as an artist. We were just DJs because it wasn't, because the profession wasn't looked at in the way that it's looked at now. Now it's looked at where, you know, you have celebrity DJs, where celebrity DJs really aren't DJs. All they are entertainers that are pretty much, for the most part, faking their way through a lot of stuff. You have the artists who are, you know, always trying to create something brand new for, you know, for consumers to listen to, and that's whether we're playing tunes that are from 2013 along with tunes from 1968. You know, that's what a lot of us do. You have the for hire DJs that you have a lot of them that are for hire and are artists and are amazing guys. I know a lot of those guys personally, but then you also have the for hire guys that are just for hire.
Absolutely.
And again, it's not even that I'm not trying to knock anybody, because you know what? If that is what you want to do, that is what you want to do. But I will make there is one statement that I will say, that is that there may be many DJs, but we are all not the same DJ, same type of DJ. So, you know, when people think about trying to just lump us all into one category, it's probably the worst possible thing you can do. You couldn't hire, you know, and I would tell somebody right off the bat, I would probably be the last person that you'd want to hire to play do the baby shower DJing or the wedding DJing, because And listen, since, you know, I can get no holds barred if I want, and I'll say this publicly because I've said it online. I refuse to do line dances. I don't play line dances. I don't do cha-cha slide. I don't do electric slide. I don't do any of that stuff. Quite frankly, because you might as well just throw them in with, like, every song there is by Drake. Because, you know, it's like everybody just figures that is what's supposed to be played. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I stay away from stuff like that because it's repetitive. It's kind of like as great a song as Frankie Beverly and Maze's Before I Let Go is. And I'll tell you what, I actually like to play the song, but at the same time, it's heard too much. And I'm like, there's so many other great songs out there that I can play.
Mr. Domrecker, there's a couple of things I want to say. First of all, you have fully lit up our panel, okay? So you are a celebrity within your own right, sir. But there are two people that want to speak to you, and I do want to touch on with you before I bring them in, because I do know you have limited time.
Sure.
So one of the things that I want to say is that I don't agree that everybody can be a DJ. I don't, because DJing is a craft that comes from a person from inside, and that's what makes them DJs. I remember when competitions for a certain slot was an honor.
Right.
Nowadays, you can take a couple of tracks, put it together, and you can mix it in and do whatever. Too many auto-tunes, synthesizers, music equipment that you don't have to learn what it means to do anything anymore because there's some program that tells you what to do. So, no, everybody can't be DJs. Everybody can put music together. But like you said, it's not about line dancing, and frankly, I'm not a fan of Drake. But you, I don't. Frankly, I think his monotonous, he was better as Jimmy on you know, Degrassi, for my opinion. But you have a unique gift, something that cannot be taken from you even if somebody was to try to copy your style. That's what a lot of these for-hires, as you say, don't get. I definitely am an old-school person, okay, coming from mm-hmm. I'm a writer, and I used to dance through my pain. Everybody knows my story, survivor of incest and molestation and domestic abuse and rape. And that used to be what kept me out of that groove was good music, and I would create choreographic routines and then teach other kids. So it had to be good, lyrical, meaningful music and mixes. And if it didn't match for me, I couldn't get into it. So sitting and listening to a bunch of people intoxicated, stating that from start to finish, this DJ didn't cut it, okay? Because it started to sound like noise in stage three. When you sitting there and someone is saying, this DJ had us flowing, this is good-sounding music, while they're drunk out of their minds, that is when you know you have done what you need to do, and I know where it comes from with you. It comes from inside. Something made you mad that day. Something made you happy. Something inspired you, and it comes out in what you put together, and it sings to the people that are dancing. It doesn't have to be a line dance. Because I'm going to tell you right now, by the way, can I officially ask you to let me have that house mix as in my honor?
You can have it. Yeah, sure.
The Dome Records Katie mix, because that is my thing. And you know what my favorite part of the mix is the Sister Sledge song.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few DJs who actually lets the whole song play. Because I used to hate could you possibly rewind and come again? What makes DJs think that's fun? I don't know.
I can literally tell you, you have people in this world that are sheep, and so you know when you hear one person do something, everybody's like, oh, you know what? That's the thing. So let me do it too. I'll put my own little spin on it, but let me do it too. That's kind of how it works with virtually everything in life. You know, everything that at one point was a very inventive and unique thing eventually becomes multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and usually sometimes the biggest form of flattery is imitation, but after a while, you know, it's like kind of like, how many times do you imitate this? You know, it gets dry, and it gets, you know, I get bored very quickly.
Me too.
And you know, when you do that, you do the horn, the ha-ha, and all that other crap, you know. That annoys me.
It does. I'm going to bring you in, callers, in 2 seconds. It annoys me. I was at a birthday party celebration that my friends brought me to, and the DJ was playing the song OPP by Naughty by Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it started off, OPP, how can I explain it? I'm like, I want to dance, dude. Come on.
Right.
You know, that's how I was feeling. Now, let me tell you, you're absolutely amazing. And I believe that the way it is because you constantly have the idea to set a trend, not follow it. And that's my thing, too. Maybe it's my personal thing, but I know.
No, but that's what it should all, that for me, that's how it always has been. I always wanted to just create my, you know, to create my own, period. I mean, because others did it before me. You know, and I mean, and I respect them. I'm not necessarily looking to imitate them, though. I learned a lot from them, but I wanted to create my own. And, you know, especially now, just to keep it brief, I'll just say that since the World Wide Web exists, I have a freedom now to play in a way that I could never do, you know, in years past. And, you know, I can just really just, like, cut loose and just, like, who's going to tell me what to play?
Right.
I don't have any, you know, big entity telling me not to play, but, you know, to play a particular way. I'm going to play my way, and I'm going to win you over, period.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring in your two listeners to ask you
okay.
questions. Start with this one, and I'll bring in the other one as well, so it'll be sort of an open panel, okay? One
okay.
second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, just 1 second. You'll be first. Let me just bring the other caller in. Hold on. Welcome to the show. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you for receiving me.
Okay, I'm going to let the panelists before you go first, okay, and then you can ask on record what you would like. Go ahead, Deacon Williams.
DJ Dome Wrecker.
Hello, sir.
How are you? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
You know I am one of your fans.
I do.
You know, and I follow you quite a bit, and I'm going to tell you something right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are a rarity today.
Well, thank
you. For the simple fact, you love what you do. You have a passion for what you do. And I pray that you continue to do the things that you do, man, because it's very few that are out there that has the love and the passion that you do for what you do, you know? And,
right.
And, I mean, it's like when I was younger and used to go out to the clubs, man, there were a lot of them around like that. But now it's a rarity. Some people are just out there just to get a few bucks, and that's it. They don't have a love and a passion for what they do, what you do. And I just hope you just continue to press on and keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's a gift from God, and you need to press on with your gift.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Caller number two.
Yeah, okay. I was listening for a while, and you spoke about Frankie Crocker. Now,
yes.
I was blessed to have siblings a little older than me, so they turned me on to the era of Frankie Crocker. And in Frankie Crocker days, the title they used was DJ. And I'm just curious, between Frankie Crocker and those such as Steve Harvey and Earthquake and you today, what is the difference? Do you see, because I don't see Steve Harvey and Earthquake. I'm just speaking of, you know, of their position. I don't see them as DJs as Frankie Crocker was. And what's the difference between the three of them? That what you may see, Frankie Crocker, DJ, and yourself.
That's a very good question. I'll tell you what. Here's the difference between Steve Harvey and Earthquake versus myself and Frankie Crocker and like and other people like that. The thing with Earthquake and Steve Harvey is that they're personalities. They're great,
yeah,
entertaining personalities. But in no size, shape or form do they program.
Right.
They
okay.
don't program music.
Okay.
Correct.
That's the big difference. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they look at, you know, they look at radio hosts and DJs, they kind of just throw them all into like just one big pot.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is that they're nowhere near even close to being part of the same meal ingredients or what have you. Frankie Crocker and, you know, guys like Giles Peterson or guys like Molly Mall or Red Alert or I mean, so many others. Even
yes.
Wolf, you know, we could talk about guys like Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
These guys actually programmed. They chose the tracks that they wanted to have played at any
okay.
given time. Steve
okay.
Harvey doesn't do that. Earthquake
right. okay.
doesn't do that. They are there for a completely different purpose. I couldn't say whether or not, like say a Tom Joyner is choosing music for his, you know, for as far, you know, as far as a lot of the music that gets played throughout any program of his. He's kind of a different, to me, he's actually kind of a different type of personality even from a Steve Harvey or an Earthquake.
Right.
But, you know, Frankie Crocker, yeah, he was a programmer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
in addition to being a radio host, so that's where that's where the differences lie.
Okay. Okay. So in other words, you're saying Steve Harvey, because of their position that they live as actors or whatever, they are there on that particular one character or degree or experience or
well, they're just
whatever.
Entertaining. They're personalities first and
yeah,
foremost.
Comedians.
They're personalities.
Comedians.
Yeah, well, even if they weren't comedians, the fact of the matter is that they're personalities.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right. You know what I mean? And they're personalities that are, you know, that are attractive to listen to. They have have the voice for it. They have a certain charisma. They have a charisma about them.
As far as
music content, that's not their forte.
Right.
So in other words, somebody else programmed their music for them?
There are other programmers, yes.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I have another caller in for you, DJ Domerica. Could you just hang on just a sec, okay?
Sure.
Welcome to the show, caller. You on the air?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing? My name is Devon Lewis. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Hi, Devon.
Hey, D.
What's happening, baby? Yeah, I told you guys I was going to tune in, and I have a small community radio station down in Toledo, Ohio, 93.1 FM, WXJP. I've been in existence for a couple of years, and basically what the difference is, I can give the gentleman some of my expertise on it. Basically, it's branding is what it is. You're basically branding, and that's what they're doing. They're branding different companies like GM and all these different places. They get a lot of advertising dollars for particular artists like that to be able to brand their station a certain way. So if that answers, that's what I'm doing in a sense, but I'm doing it in an independent way because it's a different movement of independent music like the DJ was saying that, you know, when you can touch your own music and be able to pick and choose what you do and how you do it, it's a big difference than having it on the corporate level.
Okay, so
exactly.
Wow. Okay. So on the corporate level, you're more so controlled than being your own person.
Exactly. Exactly. And so a lot of people now with the new technology and the independence of having the web and all the different mobile devices. It's opened up. It's actually made the playing field a lot even for each individual out here now. You know how to do the digital and run a computer pretty much.
Okay. Very absolutely interesting.
But I got a question for DJ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I heard you say that you don't do a lot of the private things, but you do more of the large venues, the clubs, and different things like that?
Well, okay, let me make sure I'm a little bit more specific about this. I have done private events. I will completely admit that I'm not keen on doing like the weddings and the baby showers and a lot of the big hall things. But I have done a lot of private events. I've done corporate events in the past. I have done openings and closings for recording artists in the past. A lot of independent artists here in New York City. Those particular events, I've been given the creative freedom to play the way that I want to. Now I do speak to clients about what an event actually is supposed to be. So once I know what the event is, I actually know what to design around it.
Right.
You know what I mean? From a musical standpoint.
Well, I listened to your whole 30-minute mix, and I was vibing. I was cooking chicken, too.
Oh, well, good.
Told you. Well, Domerica, if I should ever get married, have a christening, you will play at my wedding, regardless. Okay? You have to.
I had to think about that.
Another day. Well, let me ask you to do something for me. I know you did say you had a limited time here with me. Please let them know what you have done and what you are doing now.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about what I have done, and I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. I will tell you that during the early parts of my DJ career, I was also a music journalist here in New York City and wrote for several local magazines, including Fly Magazine, Indigo New York, Hydro Magazine, TheOriginalMusic.com, and covered a great deal of the artists that were under Arista, Bad Boy, a lot of independent artists from the mid 90s up until the beginning of the 2000s. Was co-host of Off the Top Radio on WGBB 1240 AM out on Long Island for 2 years. It was a hip-hop show that we did for 6 hours Saturday nights. Lots of music, lots of guests over the years. I've been doing podcasts for the last few years. I just launched a radio style podcast show called Genius Level Event, where I really get a chance to cut loose probably in ways that I couldn't cut loose even in other places I've played or other online shows. I get to scout out a lot of new talent that's from around the world, as well as a lot of local talent, and play some of their music. And I also do an all vinyl mix that takes place during the show. And you know, it's kind of like what Katie says. You really never know what to expect from me. So 1 week might be house, another week might be old school hip hop, a whole other week it might just be a straight jazz.
That's hot.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's what I said, where your talent, you know, comes to the front page, because I've listened to modern day DJs. Even, you know what, even the old school, like back in the Value the Craft days, a lot of times DJs are really known for being excellent in one field. Like, matter of fact, there's a DJ I know now that he's good for the real old school funk classic. You know, the Teddy Pendergrass, the Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, you know, things to that effect. Then there's people that are just good with just doing classic R&B, period. Some people are just all about the jazz. And, you know, you have a way of just shooting it from the hip from any angle. You know, be it Australian, be it, you know, English, be it jazz, be it classic funk. The one that you just gave me, your return to the Welcome to the Stage for this segment here, with the classic James Brown days. I'm sitting there like, what? I remember this one with my father. You know, so it was just one of those things that it hits everybody.
Yeah, that particular mix was all 45s. Playing that.
Wow.
And I'm one of those guys where if you give me a bunch of 45s, I cut loose like a bat out of hell. Because I mean, that's, you know, and 45s were you know, was what I was raised on. My mother had 45s everywhere, and I actually was just looking at pictures of me with 45s when I was like maybe 3 or 4 years old. You know, didn't know I was going to be a DJ, but, you know.
Do you have those in your, do you have 45s in your collection today that which you may format and put on DVDs?
Well, tons. I have tons of 45s. I had a collection that was once somewhere between 25 and 30,000 years ago. And then sold the collection and then rebuilt.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
You know, but I, you know, like now I kind of rebuilt, and I have records that I actually want to have. You know, in the 90s we were given promos left and right, and maybe about 50% of the records that I owned a few years back I didn't even need, because they were pretty much garbage records.
Were you stationed at? Are you in New York today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Rodney, let me ask you something. Is there a measurement higher than tons? Because I don't even think your collection even fits tons anymore.
Is there a I'll tell you what. My collection. I don't know what my number is now. It's not what it was. Not what it used to be. But I will tell you that my collection is a collection of 45s, 45s, albums, 12 inches, 78s. I have acetate records. I have the records that people used to make on their own at home.
Yes, I remember that. I will tell you that I believe that your mixes will become a collectible item. So I am saying on the air that I am claiming that house mix. When it becomes a collectible, you're going to say it's the DJ Dome record for Katie Barnett mix.
Okay.
I have witnesses on this panel. You all heard them, right?
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
It is absolutely hot. I swear I could be sick, not feeling like getting up. I was with the flu, and I started getting up, dancing. I was like, what? What's wrong with me? I'm happy. So, like, you were a cure for the flu, dude.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
I got the house cleaner than it's ever been in this life. But that's it. And, I mean, you know, I told you before that you and Barry Gibson are going to have to start, you know, filing musical restraining orders against me.
Oh, jeez.
That's good. It's great. It's absolutely great. That's how much I feel your mixes. That's how much I feel the commitment you put into it. That's how much I feel it. And I'm telling you that people don't understand it maybe on my level because you and I are both artists and to that point. But
I don't know.
They do understand it from the universal music is great. I want to party. I don't want to sit. My feet don't hurt because to give up. That is a brand itself. And one more thing I would like for you to touch on, and this little part that I want to talk to you about is because you are an example to other ones that are coming to our artist market trying to get in the field. I want you to just touch a little bit on what you do as a dad, like what it is family means to you, and how you do things as a single father, because that's amazing to me.
I'm gonna tell you something. When it comes to that, the only thing that I can actually say to that truly is that I know what it is I have to do. I don't have a recipe for it. I don't have a how-to book on it or anything like that. You know, I just know that there are things that I'm supposed to do as a dad. You know what I mean? And I will also say I don't always get it all right. You know what I mean? Because to err is to be human, and I, you know, all I can do is do the best that I can.
Right.
So, you know. That's just what I do. I just do what I have to do.
And I guess that's where, you know, your music speaks to me, because you do know that I'm on the, I always call you my male parallel, because I'm raising six as well. And we go through, you know, the back and forth of trying to handle our jobs and handle our careers and have the passion in us. And I think our children give us the inspiration to make the best that we can make and give it out there for whatever it is that we do.
Oh, yeah.
So you are an intricate part of what the music industry once stood for, that the modern-day auto-tune, synthesizers, you know, let me help you sing software, all of that stuff is trying to eliminate what music is.
Well, the only thing, here's what I'll just say about, I do want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what the music industry is or was, the music industry is not, first of all, is not central. It doesn't have central points as it once did. Every business has its revolving doors. It's beyond being a revolving door at this point. There are no true A&Rs anymore. There are a lot of great publicists out there, because I've worked with them, and many of the people that I worked with when I was a journalist, they're still doing their things. There's a lot of quality journals. I just did an event for the Black Public Relations Society of New York, and I mean they were, you know, they're amazing.
There's
amazing people, and I mean they are, you know, shouts to Keisha Barton and to Vanessa Edwards L, for making things happen, and also to guys like Angelo Ellerby and a guy who actually is an amazing DJ, and I met him as a publicist, Hard Hitting Harry. People who are masters of the craft, but the thing is that they're kind of a dying breed.
Who?
You know, meaning the publicist that I had just mentioned. A lot of the publicists that made things move here, in at least here in New York, they're kind of a dying breed now versus how it was when I was first coming up in the industry. And, you know, the promotions departments have fallen apart. They're not focused on publicists, and a lot of publicists and promoters, from promotions departments at record labels used to feed product and info to both the small and the large magazines and media entities. That doesn't happen anymore. Now, it's like if they're not a big entity, if it's not a big entity, they don't really deal. You know, and it's sort of part of a reason why I stopped doing some of my journalism stuff. But I mean, that's kind of another story for the most part. But the industry has sort of, you know, gotten much bigger in certain ways and a lot smaller in other ways, and it's a bit hard to navigate and find the human beings that you need to talk to do stuff. And
I think that you and I have spoken about that before, and I mean, this is like a universal corporate thing as well, but I think in the music industry or in the industry of the arts period, this is a big problem, and it's like everyone focuses so much on the overall, like, go.
What's about money?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, for the value and the little things that, see, I believe that when you keep your eye focused on the small things while keeping aware of changes and the mm-hmm. things you need to upgrade to or adjust to, I think when you keep your eye focused on keeping the small and the unique in order, that you always, you'll be timeless. You understand? Michael Jackson, he's a big, you know, he was a big icon in the world because he knew how to stay up with the times but not take away what was unique about him. Still had the old school values, and he kept his eye focused on the small things while obtaining the big. That is something I see you do often. That is something that, you know, I spoke to you earlier about Barry Mason. Those are the two things that I see in you guys. It's that you never are happy with it just being what everybody else has. You know, what's the thing to do? You know, everybody likes the electric slide. Let's throw that in there. I've seen that. When I go, if I'm going to spend $30 on a cover to get into a club, and that's not even including drinks, or if there's food there, you know, I don't want to sit there and hear you throw together something I could do on my own personal CD mix.
The bottom line is literally just daring to be different. If you cannot be different, I mean, and you know, you have people who talk about, oh, yeah, well, I'm different. No. A lot of people are just not different. They think they are, or they, at the very least, they want to say that they are. But when you actually show that you're different, you had a guy, I won't mention him by name, but there's a guy who is somewhat known in the industry, and he actually came up, I believe, as a protege of Red Alert. And that's as far as I'll go as far as like even coming close to identifying him. But I'll just say that. And I mean, Red has had a lot of proteges. But this particular guy, I met him on two occasions. First time I met him playing somewhere, and we're having a conversation about music. And you know, when I was telling him about certain things, he realized that I was doing, you know, that I do it more for the love. I wasn't doing it necessarily from a money standpoint. And mind you, I'll be the first person to tell you, I love money. but I wouldn't say, you know, I'm not going to sell my soul about, you know, for it. The second time that I met this guy, I introduced myself to him again and tried to remind him of the previous conversation we had, and actually, out of courtesy, just said, you know, I'm doing something, I'm doing an event here. If you have time, stop on through. That's all I said. And the man says back to me, well, I won't be doing that, but, you know, you can come to my event. And I'm just like, you know, there's really no need for you to be this much of a jerk. You know, and because I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Because you know what, truth be told, I don't care how successful you are at this from a money standpoint. I don't care if you've got 5 Twitter accounts. I don't care if you're on, you know, Fox 7 News. I don't care if you're, you know, if you're getting this, that, and the other thing, or you have an online show, whatever. None of that matters if your whole persona just stinks to high heaven. It really doesn't. None of that matters. You know what I mean? There is still supposed to be a certain professional and personal courtesy you're just supposed to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you can't even, you don't have to like me. It was, and that conversation was never even about liking me. It's just like, okay, how are you? If you'd like to come to something that I'm doing, it's here. Come on through. If you know, it's just being nice.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who don't know how to be nice back. So, you know, I mean, you know, and listen, I know cutthroat industry. I get it. Been there, done that plenty. But it's just a courtesy thing. Don't you're not all of that if you're gonna come at me with your nose up in the air. And that goes, you know, and I say that to artists. I say that to other DJs. I say that to people, you know, other people in the industry who really think that their stuff don't stink. And I'm like, nah, no,
yeah,
you're not coming. Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you, Rodney, because I certainly see that as being the stupidest shoot yourself in the foot gesture you can make. In this business, whether you are top seasoned, you know, branded already, you always can learn from someone else. And I never understood. There's a particular DJ who, like you, I won't mention the name, but was given the opportunity to work with a legend in the field. Okay, and the way I see it is, how the hell are you going to get the priceless access to inside, being inside with the legend, and then figure once you got your feet wet on an opening set or whatever the case is, that you're going to try to kick the teacher in the back because now you've opened for someone. I feel that when somebody finds it in their heart to take away time from their busy schedule just to see you as a person, free of charge, to give you a shot because they're remembering where they came from. In this business, especially when it's something in creative arts, you're always learning. There's inspiration from the creativity. You know, I write books. So I remember that my murder thriller that's out now, it came from the simplest little thing. My children, we were waiting for the laundry to dry. My two toddlers were running back and forth on the landscaping. There was a big old tree that the branches came down so wide that it made a big shadow, and it looked like it was swallowing my kids up every time they went there. So I thought to myself, what if there was a killer sitting there, and then they just snatched up kids? And bingo, a book was born. You understand? You never know. I'm sorry.
Well, here's what I'll say. The most dangerous word I've ever thought that anyone, you know, and I mean, I've said this about DJs in particular, but I kind of learned this even before that, and actually having to do with a profession that had nothing to do with DJing. But the most dangerous word that any DJ could call themselves is professional. And the reason why is because it is one of the most misused, misinterpreted words there is. just because you have the equipment or just because you have a contract for a client or the fact that you go all overboard to, you know, to prove that you are professional, you actually wind up, I at least, and this is just the way I've seen it, you actually wind up being one of the least worthy people to deal with in the profession. I will, you will virtually never hear me say that I'm a professional DJ. Because for me, there's something wrong with me saying that, because it's very in a certain way, it's a cookie cutter thing. In a certain way, it makes it sound like I'm some DJ who's supposed to show up with a suit and tie.
Right. There's,
you know what I mean? And my little stand that has my banner on it, and you know, and I'm supposed to be, you know, I'm supposed to have somebody, you know, ready to be like a juggler or a dancer or, you know, stuff like that. You know, it basically sounds like I'm about to be a rent a DJ, and I can't stand, I can't stand that, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that if a lot of us just said we were just DJs, and just DJs from just the perspective of trying to advance the craft of it only. I used to be a part of a group of people who would always go to an open turntable event where, you know, all the DJs would go in and, you know, play their sets. And, you know, I would go in there to play, you know, there might be 10 or 12 guys that are in there to do half-hour sets. I don't know what anybody's going to play, but me personally, I was going in there to basically kill my set and kill everybody else's sets, whether I heard them or whether they were coming up behind me. Nobody's set after mine was going to matter, because my set was going to be hot, period.
And see, that's what it's about. Like, you go in there not to stomp on other people. And after I say this, Devon, I'm going to ask you to give any final questions or anything that you have. But Rodney, I believe that. It's about you believing in yourself but always wanting to just – it's like the love of getting people to hear what you do, because you love doing it so much that, you know, you want to share that with people. It's not about going in and saying, you know, you go in there saying, I know I'm good at this, I believe it, I love it, so I know when I get up there, I heard what I don't like about them and I'm going to do that differently. But at least you're not going up there, like you said, to be a total jerk. Because if you are the only one blowing your horn, then who the hell are you pleasing?
Exactly.
Who the hell are you pleasing?
That's right.
It's not about what you think of yourself. It's about what the people, the public that you want to serve, believes of you. And I don't understand how anybody could walk around going, I can't work like this with, you know, mediocrity. And but who said you weren't mediocre yourself?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, Devon, would you tell me if there's any questions or comments you'd like to make to DJ Domerecker?
Yes, the comments that I have is basically, you know, that, you know, being in New York and being in Toledo, you know, a lot of people there, a lot of artists, because I'm an artist, I'm a writer, and, you know, I'm around artists quite a bit. So my thinking towards radio and media is a lot different because I'm artist sensitive. And most, like you said, most professional DJs don't want to feel artist sensitive. They don't want to feel that. They're not about that.
Right. Exactly.
So my thing is that, how do you feel about going to smaller markets, like, you know, and discovering talent? Because most of the talent has really came from this. A lot of it came from this area, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I on my first episode of Genius Level Event, I actually featured an artist from Columbus by the name of Critical.
Yeah.
And, you know, I very much enjoy her work. She is a rapper and producer, does very good work. There's also an R&B group known as Ingram Street out of Columbus that I'm going to be featuring on the third episode of genius level event. And I think these guys are amazing. So, I mean, you know, smaller market stuff, even as a journalist, I was going after that stuff before I would go after the major stuff. I love the idea of researching and investigating music from different regions of you know, of the United States and even the smaller ones. Listen, even when I go looking for digging for vinyl, okay, I'm excited if I find something that is not a Motown record or a, you know, something that's New York City proper. If you tell me I'm about to, well, I'll tell you what. Some years ago, I bought a 45. I've since sold it, but I bought a 45 out of Roanoke, Virginia. The group was called the Randolph Brothers Plus One. The record was called What It Is, and it was like a funk soul record. Bought the record for about $230, 45. But nobody knew what this was except for like very, you know, very well invested collectors. Right. And this is, you know, like this is, like, I would play this out, and folks would just say, "Well, what is this? Where did this come from? I never heard of this." That is what I look for. That is what I go for.
Yeah. That to me is what music is really all about, and creativity. You know, a lot of people, you know, they kind of do get stuck on programming, as they say, the normal artists that they hear commercially.
Yeah.
You know, you can drive from state to state and hear the same song within 15 minutes.
Right.
You know,
right. That's
why I'm so glad that you have a radio show that's like that, that's breaking independence, that's breaking more new artists, because there's so much new talent out here that's just not getting the exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
I certainly, like I said, you know, I look for the unique. I'm not with the trend followers. I like to see, I don't know about you, but I used to be the type of person that if I bought a hit record that was out back in the day when it was records and not CDs, and I liked the flip side. If it was a single,
right.
I would
flip
it. As a matter of fact, that's how I discovered a song by Whitney Houston. It was on the opposite side of Where Do Broken Hearts Go, and it was called Where You Are, one of the sweetest love songs I've heard. And I was like, oh, that's a flip side. So I thought I was like the master of flip sides until I found out other people heard it too. But that's what I do. I like looking for what people haven't done yet or haven't heard yet, and that's what I would perform to. Now, I've heard that with you, Rodney, where you have found what people haven't heard but people will want to hear once it's been played. And
yeah, and the great thing about that is that most people don't even realize what it is that they want to hear or even what it is they need to hear. They think that what they need to hear is something that's familiar, and that's not necessarily the case. You know, people are looking for new stuff. They just don't realize it or know that is what they're looking for, not until it hits them, you know?
Right.
With that, I do have to say that I do have to go.
All right.
But this was a pleasure.
It was.
Yes, it was. Very much.
It was like a great old grown folks conversation about the industry. I want to thank you, Rodney, for gracing me with your presence and your mixes, and for me being on the inside, and you're my team and my friend, and I appreciate it very much. Devon, thank you for taking time out for coming in. You know, we still got a little bit of time left here, which I'm going to feature yet another mix of you, sir.
Well, can I just say something really quick just before I go? Okay, so I'm going to do something that I used to do on WGBB 1240 AM, and that is give my shout-out to my kids, which is Tatiana, Hallie, Haley, Olivia, Brandon, and Janessa, and my grandson, Quincy. Dad/granddad loves you all. And if you want to check my mixes, mixcloud.com/domereka, that's DOMEWRECKA. You can find my stuff there. I have, there's at least, right now, I guess there's about 35 mixes up there that people can go through and take a listen to. If you want to email me, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com, or just find me on Facebook, DJ Domreka, again, DOMEWRECKA.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Well, I thank you very much again for all that you have given to this show and all that you have given tonight. So thank you again, Rodney. Keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to keep promoting you. I don't care what we have to do. Go to the end of the earth. I will, because people need to know that there's still good DJs and good music out there, and a person with integrity like you that's pushing it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah, Rodney, I would like to say to you, keep on pressing, man. Don't let anything discourage you, because you are blessed with the talent that you have from God. And don't let nothing discourage you, man. And he has blessed you with 6 beautiful children. Keep pressing on, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm coming to New York to party, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Yes, man.
Hey, Devon, we might have to make that run together, man.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I'm
either that or find a way to get me out to Toledo. I'll come out to Toledo.
Okay.
I'll be with you. I want to thank you again, Rodney. Listen, when we get these sponsors together and finally get this project off the ground as we want, you're going to be the person that's going to do our groundbreaking, mix, and you're going to do it live and proud your way, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Kiss the baby.
Sounds good to me. I will.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the amazing DJ Domreka, amazing Zeddy Williams that's on the panel. Welcome to Devon Lewis of Toledo, Ohio. I want to thank the other gentleman who did not give his name but was on here giving his questions and opinions. Everything about this guy is what the show is about. We try to promote integrity. We try to promote, empowerment, of youth doing their thing. As you all know, we have our youth segments. We have our parenting segments. These are the things that we are trying to do to get back what was once valuable. We have lost it with budget cuts, with the children losing the arts in schools. We have lost it.
Yes.
And we are trying to do our little piece in bringing it back. Everyone says that what can we do? That's the way it is. No, it's not. You take what little you have and you make it. You do little bits at a time. Eventually, all these little pieces will form a bigger puzzle, and it will be showing a picture. That's what we're trying to do. Devon, I will definitely be hearing from you and be connecting with you because you sound amazing as to what it is you're trying to do based on what I've read so far. And, of course, Deacon, you know that I love you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do and you represent.
Bless you.
I'm going to say my final goodnight because on our way out, we're going to have one of DJ Domreka's other mixes. And
all right.
So you know what we say. Be blessed, be blessing, be a blessing, make a difference, and I'll see you here tomorrow night at 8:30. Okay? Oh,
all right.
Tomorrow is the beginning of our Writer Showcase segment. We are starting a brand new segment. So tomorrow we are going to be showcasing poetry from people all over New York right now. We have just sent out the official notice to all the schools in USA for teachers to select their outstanding students pieces so we can showcase them and feature them here every Tuesday. So tomorrow is the debut of that with Lady Diamond and Yeves and myself. So until then, like I said, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless the panel. See you here tomorrow, everyone.
Back at
Take care.
On behalf of all of the connoisseurs of fantastic music, I would like to welcome you to the stage. On Welcome to the Stage with my man, my mellow, DJ Domreka. This is Top in the Bush. Welcome to the stage, sucker.
DJ Emerson, and I'm chilling with DJ Don Matter in the mix on Welcome to the Stage.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ Lucy C.
This is M-Tri.
And we're chilling with DJ
Don Matter in the mix on Welcome to the Stage.
Peace, world. This is DJ 730. And I'm chilling with DJ Dome Record in the mix on Welcome to the Stage. Pass.
Hello, this is Eric Rico, and I'm chilling with DJ Domewrecker in the mix on Welcome to the Stage.
On behalf of all of the connoisseurs of fantastic music, I would like to welcome you to the stage, on Welcome to the Stage, with my man, my mellow.
What's going on? This is DJ M Ski and I'm chilling with DJ Dome Wrecker in the mix on Welcome to the Stage.
and my name is Rally. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand.
My name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe.